Hello, America, and welcome to Apples to Donuts. As always, I am sitting here with my good friend Dave Clemish, who is my co-host. I am Jeff Wambolt, and today I want to welcome you to the second half of the Ruben Salazar interview. He's a retired Marine Corps gunnery sergeant whose mission shifted after his daughter's diagnosis with the LGS form of epilepsy when she was 2.5 years old. Welcome, Dave.
Welcome, Jeff. That's right. We recorded the entire interview just a few days ago. So we already know the second half is just as intense as the first half with Gunny Ruben Salazar, the dad. I've known the Salazars since the mid-1990s. What's your take? What's the story? We interviewed Dr. Tracy Salazar, the wife. We just finished the full interview with Ruben, and we're going to play the second half today. What are some of the highlights that stand out for you?
I feel that that entire family is just totally incredible. Dr. Tracy, we talked about a couple weeks ago, but her husband, Ruben, who, if you listen to the first half, you realize you probably have the same opinion that I do. What a courageous man. What a just a diehard advocate for his daughter, Savannah. But he is dealing with a lot, as is Tracy, and it really stuck with me. I think about this interview, you know, when I'm driving my car, when I've got some alone time, about what he and Tracy are willing to do to help their daughter, which, again, we probably all would do, and he would be the first to say it. But when he talks about wanting to outlive his daughter for her sake, that really hits home. And that's just truly amazing to me.
And while he lives with that knowledge, he also has fun with his daughter. And he's married to a PhD wife who discovered a calcium connection for Savannah. So to reduce their seizures from 400 seizures a month down to 30 or 40 seizures, a 90% drop. He also talked about how he's the machine gun in the violin case. And there's a scene that really stands out from the first half that kind of sets the tone for what we're going to hear today, the second half. Mm-hmm. They're sitting at a meeting. And Tracy was in charge of a lot of the meetings with the school district or a lot of the meetings with the doctors. And the one time she said, Ruben, I need you to come with to this meeting because they're going to try to take something away that Savannah has. So Ruben came to the meeting and he was kind and considerate and he sat at the table and Tracy was doing the talking and Ruben's just sitting there. Whoever was on the other side, they wanted to take away some services for Savannah. And Ruben said that's when Tracy kicked him. And his job was to open up the violin case, take out the machine gun, as he calls it, and say, what about this and what about this and my daughter and what about this? And by golly, they got what they needed. He goes back in the violin case, and he just is quiet until Tracy finishes the meeting.
Impressive. What a great team they make, right?
Right. So, Jeff, you want to go ahead and cue up the second half of the interview?
Yeah. Let me get that started right here. Here we go.
She just goes back to her life, to her little world where she sits there and washes her iPad, puts on her red tap shoes. When my daughter got married in Wisconsin, they got her these red slip-on shoes, and she called them tapping shoes. And she will not get on those tapping shoes. We bought her some new ones. We just got them the other day. The old ones are tucked away in her bag, in a plastic bag, because he won't let go. She's got her routine.
Does she get you to tap dance as well? I mean, you got to do what you got to do as a dad.
Yeah, but tap dancing with my belly now.
How about a tea party?
No, I'm so glad I see this on social media. I see tea parties, you know, and I never got into that kind of stuff. It's like we were in Chicago, and you guys ever hear Miss Cordia?
No, not yet, but I'm pretty sure we will.
Mr. Cordia is I call it a compound. It's a compound for disabled adults. That's in Chicago. And people come over there. It's like a 25-year waiting list. And what happens, you put your kid in there, and I'm going to tell you a question. I'm not going to use their names, but these people are very influential there. One day we're going up there, we knew them, and they took us there, got a tour. And they go, hey, how about, putting Savannah in Mr. Cordia? Because they wanted Tracy to stay in Chicago. And I told Tracy, I'm here for 2 years and I'm out. Nuh-uh. And so I go there and we saw it and everything. And it was nice. And, but the people who gave us the tour didn't know who we were connected with. Mm-hmm. And so we go there, do our little tour. And they go, oh, it's a 25-year waiting list. I'm like, whew, thank God. So I go back and tell these people, yeah, it's a 25-year waiting list.
Well, how big is it? I mean, how many people do they take at a time? Is there, only allowed so many?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to throw a number. It's like, say, like 100.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Not kidding. It's their own little world. They got doctors there 24/7. Mm-hmm. They got a little restaurant. I'm telling you, man, it's awesome. You know, what happens is they get your SSI, whatever income that child gets from the state or the government, Mr. Cordia, it's run by some Catholic organization.
Mm-hmm. Is that the only one in the country, or are there more than one?
That I don't know.
Okay.
But I know Mr. Cordia was awesome. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. But to me, I just couldn't do it. I said, I can't. This baby, that's my responsibility. Not that I'm saying that parents mm-hmm. who do that, they don't want to. I'm not saying. I mean, maybe they get too old. Like us, we think about, what about us? If we get too old, it's like now, I mean, I don't know how many times I've hurt my back now when, you know, we're giving Savannah a shower and she has a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to catch her. And then, you know, or she had a seizure and I got to try to carry to her bed. And I know I'm going to hurt my back, but I mean, what choice do I have?
Right.
I'm not gonna let
but you'll know so, when the time is that you can't do it anymore. You'll know it.
Yeah, see, what I'll do is I'm going to get a wheelbarrow and put a mattress in there for it, and I can just wheel it around all day. It'll be fine.
Right.
Mr. Cordia, so we go up there, and I go, you know what? Mr. and Ms. So-and-so, they said it's 25 years. And she goes, sweetheart, we raised $2 million a year at the time for this place. You think you have to wait 25 years? You'd be lucky to wait 30 minutes. Give me the word, and you'll be in today. I'm like, thank you, but no thank you. We got to go and think about it. And we did. And so. And she goes, but that's the way it's done in Chicago.
Wow.
And I'm like, holy, I mean, what about it? There's people who don't know anyone. And they, you know, just, but I'm like, I couldn't do it. I mean, I don't know other cultures. I don't know any other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put my kids in the home. And I'm not bad mouthing parents to do that. They have their own reasons, and it's not my business. I'm just saying that is my job. That is my responsibility. Because I go up there and when I went to Mr. Cordia, I volunteered there. And I go there and they go, yeah, you can read books to these kids. I'm like, no, I'm not a book reader. I said, do you need a toilet cleaned? Do you need a floor buffed? Do you need something fixed? Something. I said, but I mean, I'll do it if you want me to, I will. But that's not me. I'm here to do the job that nobody wants to do. I mean, not that the janitor who works there is a lowlife. Absolutely not. Give him a day off, man. I'll do his job for the day. No big deal. But that's not, I'm a worker bee.
It's just another example of what you've had to think of as a parent that I haven't and that Jeff hasn't. Like, where's my daughter going to live?
Yeah. And I do, Dave, you know, I see these kids over there. And I'm not blaming because, if Savannah doesn't want to cooperate, she's not going to cooperate. But I'm going to tell you why she does. Because at times I got to be like a drill instructor. I got to go get my smoky cover and say, what did I tell you to do? And she goes, okay, she'll do it. But I saw these kids, you know, some of these girls, you know, they had armpit hair. They had, you know, the T1 brush. And not that the people there didn't try to, but, I mean, what are you going to do with an adult child that doesn't want to cooperate? You can only do what you can do. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to blame somebody who doesn't brush my daughter's teeth or comb her hair because if she doesn't want to cooperate, I mean, you can't tie him down and do it.
Right.
And I'm like, so I said that, I said nope. And then plus, people already stare. Take your medicine, baby. People already stare at the wheelchair. They stare at the service dog. Nothing. It bothers me. I mean, I want them to look. I want them to see, you know, and that way maybe it's a learning. It's a learning moment for them to learn about the service dog or about LGS. So I really have no qualms with that. But they're already going to stare for, you know, her teeth over, you know, her gums overgrown or whatever. They're going to stare already, you know. And so she doesn't need the hairy legs, the armpit hair. So that's our job as a parent is to make sure that we maintain that for her.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff, I mean, so, and I'm sure that there's kids that have a son. Oh, hold on. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
Oh, so I'm curious. I know you had a career with the Marine Corps, then you had another career with the Sheriff's Department, and now you've got time at home to be with Savannah. How did the time work in the beginning when you're busy being a Marine and you've got other kids and there's responsibilities? How did you and Tracy juggle that time?
All right. Yeah. I'm glad you asked me that because you remember those I don't know what you call them. I mean, a lot of inmates and convicts use these tattoos. You know, the one is the art is the two face masks. One is smiling and one is, and the other one is crying.
Yes.
You know what? Yeah, that's whatever. What college word is that for that? Because I'm not a college guy. What's the proper term?
Is it the theater mask or is it
yes,
like the
yeah? The, yeah, it's those.
We call that the happy smiley mask or the happy frowny mask.
Well, see, when I was in the Marine Corps, I was the happy smiley mask. I got to go home. I mean, I got to go to work, and I got to go, you know, be a Marine, be a deputy sheriff. And Tracy was, you know, stay home with the unhappy face, and because you got to deal with seizures, or whatever. So that was my life. So she followed me through two careers, and now the mask reversed. Now she's the smiling one, doing her thing, and I'm home. And not that it's sad being here. I wish about it. No, not at all. I'm just saying it's kind of a thing that I like to make fun of myself with that. And that's how, I mean, we juggle it. When I was in Marine Corps, it was like halfway through my career. So, you know, Tracy was a stay-at-home mom. She was going to school. And when I get home, you know, she'd go to take her classes. And in the sheriff's department, it was the same thing. And then when I'm working my hours, I asked the sheriff's department if I could stay on nights, because Tracy could go to work and go to school, and Savannah, when she had a bad day, she could stay home with me, and I would just, I kept that. I'm not kidding. I don't know how many, for 13 years, I went to work like a zombie, because Savannah's having seizures all day, and I'm walking around with 2 or 3 hours of sleep, and I'm working 12-hour days. Man, 12 hours actually being in the building.
Right.
You know, go ahead.
No, Ruben, I was going to ask you, you seem very lively, and to me, you're a fantastic dad. Now, you talk about Savannah while she's sitting right next to you, correct?
Yes.
How is she understanding what you're saying when you tell the jokes? I mean, is she laughing along with you, or is she really not listening into the conversation?
She's 28 years old, but she's a typical, in her mind, a teenager. She ignores me. Unless she needs something.
A typical teenager, right?
Is she there? No, is she's listening to all this?
Yeah, but she's got her headphones on. Hold on. Hey, Savannah? Can you say hello? Can you say hello to Dave and Jeff? Oh, she's pulling them out. Say hi, guys.
I'm there.
Hey, Savannah.
Hi, Savannah.
Say hi, Mr. Dave.
Hi, Dave.
What's your dad doing?
He's pausing.
Does he have a Raider shirt on?
I feel I do.
Oh.
I got my mom.
She got her mom shirt on. She's got a shirt on that says 2020, and it's got the, you know how you got the star rating?
Mm-hmm.
It says, it's got one star. I wouldn't recommend.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh no, she likes to wear my Raiders gear, and she'll say, "Hey Savannah, what about the Raiders? What do you think about the Raiders?"
Boo
Raiders. She doesn't believe her. She does a lot of medication, so she can get away with that.
That's yeah.
I got a pink on.
You got a pink shirt on, and what are you watching on your iPad? Are you you're watching Boys. She's watching Bows. She called them Bows.
Boys.
Yeah. Boys like Talon, her brother. Well, I tell people that these seizures have actually saved me from going to jail, because if somebody was to hurt my daughter, I'm going to kill them. And with these seizures, she can't go nowhere. Because, you know, I do think, like I said before, I think about when if Savannah could play sports, you know, and I kind of like, I'm thinking, I wish my baby could do that. Because I'm going to tell you, it's corny, but every time I see a falling star, the first thing I would wish for is for my daughter to be healthy. That's what I almost ask for that. I mean, I won't get it, but it's still corny. It gives me false hopes, I guess. But
sure.
I
do think about Ruben, that. You mentioned sports, and forgive me if I'm way off base, but is there any way she could join Special Olympics?
Oh, she does. She does Special Olympics. She does. Her coach, Tony. But she does remember that, Jeff. She'll go up there and she goes, no, Coach Tony said do this. And Coach Tony said do that. I'm like, okay. And she will not. And she will not adjust that. It's got to be what the coach said, period.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's done soccer. She's done basketball. I mean, you know, they adjust to her. But, the Special Olympics have been, it was fun. Well, before the pandemic hit, it was fun. She really enjoyed it. And she looked forward to doing that. You know, she got to run around and stuff.
I know I saw some of her training videos before the 1-mile marathon. I think Tracy posted some videos of Savannah stretching and doing her muscles and doing the hoorah, her version of the Marine Corps hoorah.
Yeah, she's got a bunch of cards and videos that they have these exercises just for kids. They're not special need kids, but they're just for kids. And she does. She goes, because Tony said, I have to do my exercise. So she'll go up there and she'll try to do her push-up or jump up, but she likes to dance. She loves to dance. I mean, we go to these conferences, and I literally have to pull her off the floor. She will not stop.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, but we're not under the influence of margaritas.
Yeah, that's right. That's a little different.
Jeff's a pretty good dancer as well.
Okay, there, Vanilla.
I think I am after the
he
margaritas.
He enjoys the dance floor anyways.
Yeah, I enjoy the dance floor. It's a good way of putting it.
We took Savannah on a cruise. We went to Panama, the Panama Canal and stuff. Mm-hmm. We did that. She enjoyed it. I mean, everybody knew, well, they knew Savannah and they knew her service dog, Yukon. And they would always see me as Yukon's dad or Savannah's dad. Never my name, but that's who I was.
And you said that her first dog was Yukon, and this is her second dog?
Yeah, Freddie D.
Okay.
His name is Frederick Douglass. The lady who was called Canine Assistance is the one that we got the dog from. And he's a seizure response dog. But I tell people he's a millennial. He's a millennial dog, like millennial kids. Yukon was old school. He was trained in a crate, and he was only supposed to bond with Savannah, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did. He would... We'd hook him up to the wheelchair. He'd take a few steps and look at Savannah. He'd walk in. As he walk in, he's looking at Savannah, looking at Savannah. It's like, and people go, but how does he know when it's time to work? And I'm not kidding. Yukon is the same way. We would take off. We put on his vest, and he's business. He's all business. But as soon as we took that vest off, man, he ran and he rolled around on the grass because he's off shift now.
What's a time or two where Yukon earned his keep, where you were impressed by what he did?
Well,
or Freddie D.
The first time was we were in Atlanta, working with him, and it was at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's in bed with Savannah, and he's tethered because they do an umbilical cord with him for the first 2 weeks to make sure that they stay with their person. And all I know is Yukon pops up at 2 o'clock in the morning and standing over Savannah. I'm like, oh, he's got to go to the bathroom, so I put the leash on him. I'm trying to pull him off. And he won't move. He's just stand fast. He's not moving. I'm like, dude, why you pop up? And boom, Savannah had a seizure. And then he laid down on top of her. I mean, his head, you know. I'm like, all right. Let me back up. These dogs get to pick you. So we went to the Canine Assistance, and they bring the parent and the child or the person that this dog's going to be paired with. And they brought these other dogs in, and they did dog stuff. They walk around the room, they sniff, and whatever. Yukon went around the room one time. He put his paws in Savannah's lap.
Oh.
And started smelling her mouth, and she had a seizure. And even the people who were there who were training goes, oh, my God. And he was on it. And that's how Yukon, and then that's when we went back to the hotel. And that morning is when she had another seizure, and Yukon was just on it. But Yukon initially was a reject. He went to another family, and he was a big, he was like almost 80 pounds, big paws. And the little girl she would have trouble walking. And so when, you know, dogs are telling them, they tend to pull, and that's what they were doing. So they didn't want Yukon. So they sent him back to the Canine Assistance. And holy smoke, the best thing that happened to us was Yukon. He might have been a reject to somebody else, but he was an angel to us.
Absolutely.
And that's what he was the whole time. And so what he would do is he'd go up there, and if Savannah didn't have a seizure, he'd hit us with his nose, let us know that Savannah needs to sit down or she's going to have a seizure. And if she had a seizure, he would put his head on her chest or lay just next to her. It was awesome. It was just awesome.
And how early can he detect a seizure coming on?
The one that he did initially, the very first one was just like – seconds. Okay. I mean, I don't know if you smelled that as soon as you walked in the room. I have no idea because they really didn't know either. What they did was they sent us the kit. And when Savannah had a seizure, that we had to get a swab and do the swab inside of her mouth, her forehead, put a gauze in between her palms, and then we had to, you know, with gloves on, and we had to send her back to the lab because they still didn't know how these dogs could do this kind of stuff. And it's a chemical that a body leaves off, you know, gives off. that they recognize it. And what happens is if they recognize it, they get a treat. And so he did it. I can't speak for the dog, but he knew that if he did his job, he would get a treat. Mm-hmm. And that was a motivator, which is why at times people see, why we feed them so little. You know, we have a certain amount that we are allowed to feed them. And it's because the people want them, they want the dogs hungry. They want them alert all the time. And so if they're hungry and they smell it, they're like, oh, wait, I'm going to get a treat. And so it would, that's what we'd use. But, you know, he's got to rest too. He's got to sleep, you know. And so he was the best dog we ever had until we had to put him down. But he was trained different. And he was a worker. Like, I take him to the dog park. We fling the ball. He'd run and get it and bring it back to Savannah. He wouldn't release it to me. I'm not kidding. I had to get a crowbar if I wanted to get out because he wouldn't let go. But Savannah grabbed it. And he released immediately to Savannah and bring it back to her.
There's a chemical or something that the dogs can smell moments before a seizure. Is there any kind of thing that has been invented or any kind of equipment that can do the same thing?
No. I mean, because we've been around Savannah, if we look at her mannerisms or the way she is, I mean, it's like if she's all of a sudden she just like now she's moving around, messing with her stuff. But if she sits still now. Then I stop what I'm doing. I start looking because Freddie's right next to her. I start looking. I'm like, wait a minute, is she going to have a seizure? And then boom, he's done. But we also know that around the time of her cycles, she's going to start it like a week prior. And then in fact, Tracy has a graph. Her time that she can walk around without a helmet or assistance is between 1 and maybe 3 o'clock that we can walk around there. I mean, the seizure is still there. It can still happen, but then we feel okay if he goes from the front room to her bedroom by herself. But after that, at any time after like now, 3 o'clock, she could drop any time. And that's why we don't like her walking around. That's why we'll grab an arm, something, because I mean, even like right here, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You prefer her at these times when it's in a possibility of the window, you prefer her sitting down because if a seizure happens, then she tilts to the side as opposed, like Tracy talked about one time she was coming from, like for 3 seconds, maybe getting dressed, the helmet came off and she had a seizure within 3 seconds. And I think that's the one where she broke her nose or broke her teeth.
Yep. So, and then we have a tile. I mean, we have carpet and we have, you know, the extra padding and stuff, but we still have a tile floor. And I was even thinking about trying to see the cost that, you know, those, when you go to the park and you got all these little foamy things around, all these swings and stuff, the bedding, about, I wouldn't mind doing my whole house like that for her, the wall, anything, her height, everything. I wanted, you know, because we don't have a normal life. That's not us. I mean, like our bed, we have our bed, but then we sleep at the feet, and we have a bed for her that goes like into a T, and all the edges of the bed I put down those pool noodles, and it's a bed for my Kia, and then the wood slats are kind of curved. And they squeak every time you move, you hear everything. And so we like it when she sleeps there because every time she has a seizure, we're asleep, dead asleep. We know she's having a seizure. So we wake up and then we start monitoring or filming if we need to. We look at the times. And now I got Alexa and I'll tell Alexa, hey, start the seizure tracker. And then she'll start the time if I forget. But like I told Tracy, sorry, go ahead.
So you have to take care of the seizure for Savannah and at the same time track the data so that you can try to minimize it in the future.
Yes.
Or at least be aware of what the patterns are.
Yeah, because when we go see her neurologist, he'll ask us, and we go up there. I'm going to say, before all this, the seizure tracker, Tracy, holy smoke, I would go to her doctor's appointment by myself, and I'm going to tell you right now, I was nervous because I knew that Tracy is going to grill me when I get back, period. And so what she started doing, she made me a Reader's Digest version. She made me a laundry list of everything that Savannah did, everything, EEG, everything. And so when I went to the doctor, all I did was say, hey, doc, and I handed him this book, like a note pinned to your shirt. I'm not kidding. Pinned to my shirt, I would hand it to the doctor, he'd read it. And before they knew who Tracy was, they go, oh, my God, what did your wife do? And I tell her, she's a scientist. He goes, I wish all my patients, I mean, what she ate, her cycles, her everything was there. And then when he tried to explain to him, I said, no, write it down. Because she's going to ask me. Write it down. I don't want to have to go up there and go,
Right. Here's another tip. You know what I've done in the past? I've run into similar circumstances. I would tape record the answers.
Well, now the tip, the other, when she's home, I got away with that one. I don't have to do that anymore. But no, she did. It was impressive. I mean, one time we had to go in for something, and she was admitted overnight. This guy walks in, and she goes, "Who's the doctor?" And I said, "She goes, oh yeah, we both work for the same, the guy who owns the lab at UCSD." I said, "Oh yeah, you work for Joe Gason." And then he wide eyed. He goes, "How do you know?" And he goes, "Who's your wife?" And next thing you know, I'm not kidding. I put her on a phone with Tracy, and I was a VIP. I'm like, yeah. So this is how the rich folks live.
Every now and then you can pull it off, can't you?
Yeah, and I do, and it works. I mean, even like having a UConn when we were in Chicago, VIPs everywhere we went. I mean, we go to Chicago, the Cub game, VIP. We went to the Bears. We went to plays. The Chicago White Sox with that service dog. We always got upgraded, even the airplanes. We get upgraded because of the service dogs. We get to the airport, or it didn't matter where. Well, one was New Orleans. And we get up there, and this cab was next in line to come pick us up, and he took off. And then the guy behind him came up. I said, "Why did the guy leave?" He goes, "Because you got a dog." He goes, "We can reject you." I said, "No, you can't." He goes, I said, "Do you think that my daughter decided to have seizures? Do you think my daughter decided to defecate herself and pee herself?" He goes, no. I said, "Well, so you can come up there and discriminate against my daughter because she's got a service dog?" He goes, "Well, does he poo in the car?" I'm like, "Well, do you poo in the car?" I said, "Son, this is a $30,000 dog. He is going to poo when I tell him to poo." I said, "In fact, come here, Yukon, come here. Hey, go potty, buddy. Go potty." And I said, "There you go. Can you do that? Can I put a leash on you?" "No. Are you, you know, these kids..." And I call them kids. Anybody under 60 is a kid to me. They didn't choose to have all these diseases. You think they picked that? And then these clowns that are healthy, they're going to discriminate. I'm telling you right now, I'll go to jail because I am not afraid to go toe-to-toe with anyone having to defend a special needs child or parent ever. You know, I'm not worried about their feelings. Woo! Man, don't get me started. I'm going to have to pull my underwear out. But so no, but that's the kind of stuff that we ran into.
Your machine gun had to come out of the violin case a lot.
In Chicago, I did. Even, you know, snowy and stuff. And so we're walking down, me and Savannah, and you kind of walking down the street. And it's, and I understand why. Into the alley. But it's, you know, it's a narrow alley. And again, I'd have no qualms jumping off a high curb with Savannah and the dog, except it had snowed and it rained. Like, I couldn't do it. I could do it by myself, but I couldn't do it with Savannah. So I just knocked on a window. And then he looked at me with disgust. I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I'll go in the street, get hit by a car, and I'm going to have your house." Oh, she just backed up and just off I went. And Tracy goes, "You always got to start stuff." I said, "No, they started it." Another one, I'm going down the street, and Tracy, like a lot of people nowadays, she's looking down at her phone. And as I'm walking, I'm looking around. You know, I'm always, my head's on a swivel. And I see this blazer just come barreling down. And I put my hand out to Tracy. "Hey, hold on, sweetheart. They're not watching. They're not watching." I said, "What?" And they looked up and then they hit their brakes. And so I look at them. I said, "What the F is wrong with you?" And the windows come down. They go, "What'd you say?" I said, "What the F is wrong with you?" I said, "We're in a clearly marked sidewalk. I in a wheelchair with a service dog. And both of you are on your phone. You know that as of 2014, you are not allowed to be on a cell phone." He goes, "You know what?" He goes, "Who are you?" I said, "Well, I'm not required to show you my ID card." "And I will anyway." So I pulled out my badge. I said, "This is who I am." I said, "Who are you?" And he goes, "You know, you have a nice day." I said, "Oh, by the way, sweetheart, I carry too. I'm not worried about these guys." But yeah, so and I, my thing is I can adjust to you. If you're a jerk, oh, believe me, I can be a jerk. And I can be a better jerk than you. It's like, you ever guys watch that the TV show, The Chicago Fire?
Yep.
Yep. They were doing filming around there before we left.
Oh, wow.
Again. And right across the street from my apartment, condos, and I'm walking, I'm just crossing a sidewalk into the crosswalk, and this blazer pulls up and blocks my way. And I couldn't go around him because I'd be in traffic. And he's so close that I can't squeeze in between. And he's got his passenger window down, and he's got his head turned to the right, and he's talking to his supervisor. You know what they're talking about? Lunch. Oh. So I knock on the window, I'm like, excuse me. And he backs up and I get on the sidewalk and look at the supervisor and says, huh, good example you're setting. And he just shook his head, have a nice day, and off I went. You know, so I battle with everyone all the time, every day. But I did have a learning moment. Chris and I were walking down the street, and they had UConn. And we're talking. I said, yeah, two kids, about 7 and maybe 9, are crossing the sidewalk, or the crosswalk where we are. And Freddie and UConn is walking, and these two kids are just being kids. They're messing around. And they turn, and they run right into UConn's face. They, at least one of them, they panicked. He bolted, and I grabbed him by the shirt because he's going into traffic. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, you're going. But the mom was appreciative of what I did. And then I said, look, come here. Hey, boys, come here. I said, this is a service dog. See the vest? And I explained to them and stuff like that. And they go, yeah, well, we come from dogs are for protection. And, you know, they're all mean. And my kids saw that, and they just all, they panicked. I said, no, I get it. I said, no, you can pet them. You know, you have to do is ask, and you can pet, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they were kind of hesitant, but they did. And the mom was appreciative that we took the time to do that. Okay. And people ask all the time, he goes, how could you marry this guy? She's I was young and dumb.
So Ruben, as you look forward for the next period of time for you guys for LGS, what's coming up in the LGS world?
Well, right now, Tracy is against, and she's at a conference, she's meeting with the president and some of the staff members of LGS, because it's the first time they met in almost 18 months. And the next thing, they got a conference in Dallas coming up in, I think, mid-next year. But I do enjoy going to those because you get to meet all these special needs parents, and then you have all these companies that are hawking their wares to you. But the nice part is that, you get to meet all these dads and moms, and if you want to leave the kids in the group on the parents will take a quick break to go take a shower by themselves, you know, you're with your people, you know, and it doesn't matter what color you are, what culture is. Well, you know what? Real quick about Savannah. I'm going to tell how smart she is. One day she's watching her iPad and she goes, Dad, I can't find my black boy. And that's when my radar went up. She goes, Dad, I can't find my white boy. I'm like, what does she know about skin color and race? I said, what are you talking about, sweetheart? Dad, I can't find my red boy. And then I realized, I look at her iPad, she was talking about the kids of the color of their clothes. And so I posted on Facebook, I said, my special needs baby. First thing I went to as an adult, I went straight to color, skin color. And she was seeing, she wasn't looking at the color of the skin. She was looking at what they were wearing.
Right.
That's a powerful moment when your daughter, when your kid teaches you something that you don't know.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm tearing up right now. Just thinking about her like that. She's smart as shit. She's smart. I mean, we don't, well, I don't say we, because Tracy does. I don't give her enough credit. I treat her, at times I do treat her like a normal child. I expect her to conduct herself or respond accordingly, because I don't see her as handicapped or disabled, even though she is. And I expect something from her. But at times, you know, she knows already. She'll say, Dad, calm down. And I'm like, oh, you're right. You're right. She'll say, Dad, say, I'm sorry. Okay, sweetheart, you're right. I'm sorry. Now hug me. So I got to hug her. I got to kiss. Well, and then kiss him. She goes, Dad, let's get married. And she gives me, that's it. When somebody kisses, that means they're married.
Oh.
And she'll say, Dad, kiss me. We're going to get married. And right now, it's not legal here. Just give me a kiss. And so that's her mentality. Though she doesn't know. She just kiss. That means you're married. Because she goes, Dad, I'm gonna marry Freddie if you kiss Freddie.
That's cute.
Yeah. So she's unique. But yeah. So these functions we got, I'm ready for them. It's not been fair to Freddie because Freddie has not been exposed to the public like UConn was a superstar. I'm not kidding. He was a star. And Freddie has been at home with us. He was only 2 years when we got him. And again, UConn would be like, he was the old guy like you guys and me. Is when he when it's time to eat, he'll get up. As soon as he hears the food, he'll run, eat. He'll go straight to the door and go purge. Just like the old guy. Drink his coffee, eat his breakfast, go purge. That's an old guy. That's a veteran. Freddie is a millennial. You got to shake him to wake him to go eat. Go get some meat. He's like, okay. Then he'll eat. He looks around. And then he goes back to bed. I said, no, you got to go to the bathroom. He's like, all right. So it's like a kid. You got to just. And then when I take him to the park, I fling the ball. He'll run to get it, picks it up, and then drops it. It doesn't work. So no work ethic. Not his fault, because that's the way he was trained. He was trained to bond with the whole family, as you come with trained to bond with only Savannah, no one else.
Well, that's a big difference. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Oh, big time. So I don't blame him. He's looking at me like, you talking about me? Is it he was trained different. I mean, UConn, he could turn on the lights, turn off the lights, open the doors with a, you know, you put a bandana, he could open the door for you. He could do all kinds of stuff. And Freddie, we haven't really worked with him because all he had to do was do seizures. So, like I said, I tell Tracy, I don't need him. I don't need Freddie. I didn't need UConn because I don't leave Savannah's side. Either if I go to the bathroom, I got it on camera. I got cameras all over the house. I got it on camera, or I have her go with me and she'll sit on the floor. I don't. That's why I don't need them. Which is not fair to Freddie because now I'm doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's what parents are supposed to do. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. So, well, I can't help it.
Ruben, thank you very much for taking some time with us at Apples to Donuts today.
Oh, no worries. And of course, I'm sure you're going to edit all my stuff, but that's all right. I'm going to give me an agent. You're going to see me on Good Morning America. And I'm going to say, you should have stayed with me. Actually, you should have never edited me. You got to let people hear the real deal. So anyway, it was enjoyable. I think hopefully sometime next year, we're going to drive the RV out.
Oh, come on out. We'll show you the studio. No,
yeah. All right. All right, guys.
Good talking to you, Ruben. Thank you so much.
Say hi. Bye, Savannah. Bye, Freddie D.
Bye, Savannah.
All right, guys. Hey, Savannah, can you say bye to the guys? Oh, she's looking at her boys. You got a secondary. Oh,
all right. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Ruben.
Take it easy, guys.
Later, guys.
Fantastic. Bye, Ruben.
Bye.
And that was our second half of the interview with Ruben Salazar and his beautiful daughter, Savannah. Dave, let me ask you, do you battle with everyone all the time, every day, like Ruben does?
I don't. I think when one of my kids was in middle school, maybe they got into some trouble and I had to talk to an assistant principal. But since then, no, I don't battle everybody every day. Not how Ruben's describing
it. Right. And when he says every day, he's not exaggerating. He means every day. So when he's walking down the street, there's a car that may be blocking a sidewalk. He's got to worry about his daughter. And then he's got to take action. Maybe he opens the violin case. Maybe he doesn't.
They're crossing the crosswalk in a crosswalk with a wheelchair, with a dog, and his head's on a swivel. And there's a texting driver that's about to run the crosswalk. He's legal, but he's still battling all the time.
Every day. And even when there's nobody else around, he and Tracy are still facing that battle. What did he say? Something like there may be 1 to 2 hours a day where Savannah doesn't have to wear a helmet?
From 1 to 3 p.m.
1 to 3 p.m. That's, so to speak, their safe time or safe zone or whatever word you want to put to it. So that means the other 22 hours in the day, you really got to worry. And he's got to be on his game.
He said it in the second half here. We don't lead a normal life. I mean, he talked about putting the foam pads that you have in playgrounds. Mm-hmm. He talked about putting that across all of their tile floors, all of their walls up to 5'10" or mm-hmm. however tall Savannah is, so that when she seizes, it's not an if, but when she seizes and falls, she'll land on foam.
Right.
That's not anything that's ever crossed my mind for my home.
No, no. I mean, we childproof our houses when our children are very young. They're toddlers. You don't childproof your home for a 28-year-old typically, so... You know, my hat goes off to Tracy and Ruben for doing what they have to do to make their house safe for Savannah, because as we heard in the interview, there was an opportunity for them to place Savannah in a home, and they chose not to do it.
And the way he described it, they kind of had to make a decision. Would you like to place your child in this very nice home in Chicago today, or are you going to wait 25 years for the opportunity? Right. Quick, make the decision.
Can you imagine having to make that kind of life-altering decision in mere minutes?
They don't lead a normal life. And
right.
And he knows it. To walk around for 2 hours a day, besides that, kind of sit down all the time.
Right.
Or be close to somebody.
Right. And you know, he made it known that he's not a spring chicken. He knows his back hurts, or if she falls, he's got to catch her, and there's back issues that go involved. But you do it. You put up with the pain physically yourself to make sure your daughter's safe.
That's the mission. And the family still gets Savannah involved. She's part of the Special Olympics. What was the coach's name?
I think it was
Coach Tony.
Coach Tony. Right?
I meant the world to her, and I think maybe Coach Tony trumped Ruben.
Yeah.
In the hierarchy, right? What Coach Tony says goes, yes. Dad.
Hey, we should go outside. No, Coach Tony said I should do this.
Right.
You don't know anything, funny. Dad.
Yeah.
That part I can relate with.
Yep.
Dad, too. You don't know anything, but my coach, my teacher, my
absolutely.
Friend's parents.
Right,
said,
right. Yeah. Or even my friends. They know more than yeah. the parent until you get a little bit older.
Growing up, I think that what I heard most was, Dad, no. But what Mr. Jeff says, no, that's really cool.
Well, but Mr. Jeff is always right, right? It's funny.
I'm thinking about another way how their life is different. They have cameras all over the house. Like Ruben was talking about, when he has to use the bathroom, mm-hmm. there's a camera in there so he can keep an eye on Savannah. When he's in the kitchen or when he has to go over there, there's just cameras all over. So he always has eyes on his daughter.
Right, right. The cameras aren't for burglars or vandals or outsiders. They're for insiders, so to speak. And it's a necessary item. Thank God they're there. I bet you they've come in handy numerous times.
He was talking about the first time they got the second set of eyes, mm-hmm. or maybe the third set of eyes, with their service dog, Yukon. And he said they were in the hotel in Atlanta picking up the dog. 2 a.m., Ruben wakes up and the dog is standing over Savannah.
Right, I remember that.
And he's like, okay, I guess you have to go to the bathroom. And he tried taking the dog out and the dog wouldn't move. And then moments later, Savannah had a seizure. I'm sure that must have been a powerful moment for the parents to have another responsible being to help take care of your daughter, right. to know something that you couldn't know.
Right. And on a side note, how incredible is that a dog can be trained to smell whatever that aroma is that emanates from someone just before they're about to have a seizure so that you can have just those few seconds to take the necessary precautions.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing to me.
Yukon sounds like a fabulous dog. And then a dog lives after training 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that, right?
And then you go get another dog for another, what's a dog cost? $50,000?
Dog like that, sure.
$60,000, does insurance pay? I don't know. And then, Freddie D, you know, he maybe 10 years.
Right. Ugh. It's a never-ending cycle.
I'm thinking about what you said at the beginning about how I don't battle with everyone all the time. Mm-hmm. Ruben battles every day. He's always ready. His head's on a swivel. He talked about that a lot. Mm-hmm. He can be a better jerk than me. He can be a better jerk than you. He knows right. it, and it serves his purpose as well because he needs to be an advocate.
Yes.
And he's good at being a machine gun out of a violin case. And yet, at night, and he said this was corny, he looks up in the sky and he sees a falling star, and he wishes the first thing he wishes for is for his daughter to be healthy.
Just like the rest of us.
Thank you for listening to Apples to Donuts with our completed interview with Ruben Salazar.